Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com, or you can go to paulsevangel.com. They go to the same place, just two different names for the same location. Our phone number, 847-201-1060, and or our we have another phone number, 847-312-4676. Go to our website. You can get these programs for free, download them, play them. Do whatever you wish with them, but we hope that you you listen and you study along with us and believe God's truth and put it into practice. Well, we are in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Oh, and before I get into that, I just want to remind everyone, September 18th through the 20th, we're having a conference. And just in case this program is going to linger for years, this is year 2009. So September 18th through the 20th here in 2009, we're having a conference. Go to our website for more details. We hope to see you up here. Well, we are on Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and for those of you in Radio Land, I know that you've heard this the last program repeated several times. And the reason we do that is we hope that a good program is worth repeating. Paul repeated things over and over again because he said it wasn't irksome for Paul to repeat things. It was for their security. When Paul repeated things, it was for the security of others, and we desire your security. We want you to have security, security in Christ, because the message was very important. We learned last time in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, that our salvation, we're saved by faith, and it's not out of us. Nothing came out of us. Nothing came out of us to merit salvation. It was all of God. It's not of works, and so that nobody should boast. We learned that we are God's achievement, being created in Christ Jesus. You can't do anything until you've been created, and something that's not created doesn't exist. And for this reason, we are God's achievement, and that means we couldn't have done anything until we've been created in Christ Jesus. You can't be a workman for God till you become his workmanship or his achievement, as the Concordant Version reads. And we pointed out it's for good works, which God makes ready beforehand, that we should be walking in them. Now, I want you to notice this. Paul says in Philippians that we've been graciously granted in behalf of Christ not only to believe in him but to suffer for his name's sake. Our belief is a gift of God graciously given to us. Our suffering is a gift of God graciously given to us. And we also learn it is God that works in us both to be willing and to be doing according for the sake of his delight. And so nothing we do comes out of us. It's all a gift of God. Even our works are something that God accomplishes. Now we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. And if you have your Bible, I want to point something out. We're going to divide this up into three parts. In verses 11 and 12, verses 13 to 18, and then verses 19 to 22. Verse 11 starts off with the words, "Wherefore remember that once you..." Verse 13 says, "Yet now." Verse 19, "Consequently then." Now notice the division. Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that once you..." Verse 13, "Yet now." Verse 19, "Consequently then." So verse 11 and 12 look back. Verse 13 to 18 talk about now. And verse 19 through 22 gives us the consequence. Consequences connected with what has been taught. These are important passages. So we're going to read now. I'm going to read to you verses 11 through 12 in the Concordant Literal New Testament. And if you don't have a copy of one, go to our website and get one. You need a copy of this. It's the best Bible translation on planet Earth. Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that once you, the nations in the flesh, who are termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision..." Remember in the Old Testament when King David when the Philistine Goliath was cursing Israel, David said, "This uncircumcised Philistine," he called him. The Gentiles and nations were called the uncircumcised. "We are termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision in flesh made by hands." Circumcision was an act done by men to other men. "That you were in that era apart from Christ, being alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and guests of the promised covenants, having no expectation without God in the world." Now, in verse 11 through 12, Paul looks back. He tells these Ephesian Gentiles, he says, "Remember what you were once in the past. Now, he's not telling them to look back at a time when they were so-called unsaved. He's talking, he says, remember what you were before the present barrier between Jew and Gentile, before that barrier was taken down. This is a dispensational remembrance here. And we have to get a grasp on this. So some of you, when you're listening to me, you hear birdies. Because this is strange doctrine to you because you've been spending so much time in front of the TV and then going to church sitting in a bucket seat like you're going to a movie theater and you've been getting spoon-fed by professional clergymen that you have very little doctrine, and this is unfortunate. You have to pay attention here, and I hope, and you know, some people have called us arrogant for talking like this. This has nothing to do with it. We love you. We're concerned. We're spending our own money to get on this radio station to teach you these things, not because we're arrogant, but because we want to herald the truth in season and out of season. But Paul says this, so pay attention. He says, remember that once you, the nations in flesh, who are termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision in flesh made by hands, that you were in that era apart from Christ, being alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and guests of the promised covenants, having no expectation without God in the world. Before the Apostle Paul came on the scene and gave out this great message of grace to the nations, a Gentile was a second-class citizen. He had to come among the nation of Israel and only enjoy privileges as a second-class citizen. For instance, to give you a perfect instance, Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, we learn in the book of Acts, and Peter came with with good news for Cornelius. And however, Cornelius was not on the same level as Peter, even after his conversion. Cornelius could not have entered into the temple of God and worshiped there, as Peter could have. There was a dispensational barrier between Peter and Cornelius. The Gentiles were merely second-class citizens. They were blessed through the nation of Israel, or they were not blessed at all. Pardon me. But Paul is now talking about a time, he's going to talk about a time where that's no longer the case. We were apart from Christ, that is as Gentiles. He's not talking about apart from Christ as being lost. It's talking about the nations had no Messiah. This belonged to Israel after the flesh, as we learn from Romans 9. They were apart from Christ, being alienated from the citizenship of Israel. God segregated the nation of Israel. And if you read Balaam's prophecies in Numbers 22 to 24, he says that this nation will dwell alone and not be reckoned among the other nations. So they were alienated from the citizenship of Israel, and that's where Yahweh of the Old Testament dwelt among them. And guests of the covenant covenants. The nation of Israel, there were laws in Moses' law regarding strangers who came among them. They were to treat them kindly and so forth because they were guests. And they weren't members of that nation, but they were treated as guests. They were treated hospitably, and God wanted them to be treated that way because God intended that Israel, and still intends, that they become a blessing to the nations around. So they were guests of the promised covenants, having no expectation and without God in the world. That word world is the word cosmos, and it means the order of things. So in the order of things that were in existence before Paul penned this letter, this was the condition of a Gentile. He could be a believer. He could even believe in Christ. But he had no citizenship with Israel. They were the second-class citizens. Now, and by the way, that's not a bad position. It's, as a matter of fact, a Gentile can be blessed. There are many examples in the Old Testament of Gentiles who were blessed and were great examples, even better than some among his own people. But this was the dispensational barrier that God himself erected because the nation of Israel was a distinct people, and they will yet again be in God's good time in the coming era. Well, verse 13, yet now, in Christ Jesus, he says, yet now in Christ Jesus, you who once are far off are become near by the blood of Christ. Now notice the phrase, in Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. In the exalted, risen, ascended Christ, we, those who are once far off, are become near by the blood of Christ. Notice in verse 11, it's in the flesh. That's by In other words, the difference between a Jew and an Arab or an Irishman or a German or an Italian, etc. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, you who once were far off are become near by the blood of Christ. Now I'm going to read to you a comment from the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. And by the way, we have this as well. The Concordant Commentary goes along with the Concordant Literal New Testament. Now this is the comments under verses 11 through 13. This section deals only with the place that believers among the nations occupied in flesh as physically uncircumcised in the era before this epistle was penned. It is a complete contrast to the place occupied by the nations as set forth in Acts, not as presented in Paul's previous epistles. Physically, only may it be said that they have been apart from Christ, aliens, having no expectation, without God. Trophimus the Ephesian would understand this, for when he was in Jerusalem, the mere rumor that he had approached as near to the reputed dwelling place of God as a Jew caused the whole city to rise up against Paul, who, they supposed, had brought him into the sanctuary. Remember that in Acts 19, they said, oh, this is Gentiles in our sanctuary, and they went nuts over it. What Paul was accused of doing then, physically, he does now in spirit. You hear that? What Paul was accused of doing then physically, he does now in spirit and far more, for we have free access to the Father's presence. And just as Paul was accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple, he does it now in spirit, even a greater dwelling place. He brings us into heaven itself, as we read in Ephesians 1, and we're going to see here shortly. So Paul says, yet now in Christ Jesus, you who once are far off are become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Notice a person is our peace. This is something maybe to dwell on. Christ himself is our peace. Just as he is our righteousness, just as he is our holiness, just as he is our deliverance, and just as he is our wisdom. So he is our peace, who makes both one, the both are Jew and Gentile, and raises, R-A-Z-E-S, that's to tear it down, raises the central wall of the barrier, the enmity in his flesh, nullifying the law of precepts and decrees, that he should be creating the two in himself into one new humanity, so making peace. Now what is this barrier? And again, I'm going to read from the Concordant Commentary. The central wall of the barrier was so called a stone wall for a partition with inscriptions which forbade any foreigner to go in under the pain of death. So it was a warning on a part of a wall that segregated the Gentiles. One of these recently unearthed with the following inscription: no alien is to enter within this balustrade and embankment about the sacred place. Whoever is caught will be responsible for his death, which will ensue. Thank God things have changed since then. And think about this. We are running out of time. I wish we had more today. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. And it's also paulsevangel.com. Go there to our website and get a copy of the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary. If you want to reach us, our number, 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. September 18th through the 20th, we're having a conference here in Chicago. Again, the year is 2009. September 18th through the 20th of 2009 in Chicago. Go to our website for further details. We hope to see you there. Until next time, remember this: the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.